at 11:30 on Art Focus. Joseph Galivan brings you part one of his special on the 2017 Time-Based Art Festival. And coming up at 11 is Stage and Studio host Susanna Mars visits with the Portland Institute for Contemporary Art. Stage and Studio is made possible by KBOO members and support from PD Expendables, Stage and Studio Supplies. PD Expendables sells and rents to film and theater production, from gel and globes to paint and lights, featuring the latest Arri LED lighting. They can be reached at 503-887-5880 or pdexpendables.com.
To a lily-white god with Mississippi plates, a shotgun rack hunting blind drunk, a rope in the back and a hood in the trunk. Are you following him? Yeah, okay, we don't need you to do that.
Hey everybody, that's Stu and Heidi from Notes from a Native Song, and I'm Susanna Mars, in for Demay Roberts on Stage and Studio. From September 7th through the 17th, Portland will be the place to be for contemporary artists and art lovers, because it's going to be TBA, PICA's Time-Based Art Festival, and it's going to be in full swing. And in the studio with me today are Angela Maddox, Artistic Director of PICA, the Portland Institute of Contemporary Art, and a member of PICA's Board of Trustees, performing artist Holcomb Waller. And we're going to be talking about the Time-Based Art Festival coming to Portland September 7th through the 17th. You can find lots of information about the festival online at www.pica.org. And I have to tell you guys, every fall, I cannot wait for my TBA festival booklet to arrive, and this year was no different. It's dog-eared to death with underlines and highlights, mm-hmm. everything I want to see and do. And there's so many provocative titles. There's I Collect Neglected Venoms, Direct Path to Detour, Death Dance, The Negro Problem. I'm thrilled. And I see both of you guys have your booklets open and tagged. And what are you excited about this season for TBA?
Well, it's an absolute pleasure to be here. This is an amazing time. We're a little bit more than a week out to launch TBA Festival, which is this 10 days where we celebrate in the name of art and ideas. So this is a once a year chance to invite artists locally and globally who we think are really, you know, the visionary artists of our time, mm-hmm. you know, and they're exploring in all different kinds of mediums, from dance, theater, music, visual art. And they're all exploring what we think are really interesting ideas, forms, and they're really embracing, you know, innovation, experimentation, and exploring the world we live in today.
What would you say the dominant themes are this year?
Yeah, you know, as always, TBA is a place for, you know, artists are really experimenting and trying new things. But, you know, as I was pulling together this year's festival, it felt really important to remind us that we need a festival that is celebratory, that it can be, sure, a place for experimentation, but it's also a place for gathering together as a community. And so it's a place for collective inquiry. It's a place for collective celebration. Mm. It's a place for healing as well.
I agree with that, because all the times that I've participated or attended, I've never been an artist in the festival. I just love the various venues, the way that the venues embrace the festival and vice versa, using space in innovative ways, outdoors, indoors, halfway, in and out. You know, Holcomb, what if some of your favorite past venues and the ways they've been used?
Oh gosh, well, when you put it that way, the thing that stands out, and you're gonna have to remind me the title, was the piece that was in Pioneer Square, where there was a theater piece live in front of an audience that had headsets on, and the only way the audience could
back-to-back theater from Australia many mm-hmm. years ago.
Yeah, that stands out to me because it was a public space where there was a theater performance with people in the square intermingling with the performers, and only the audience could tell the difference because only they could hear the characters who were mic'd through mm-hmm. their headsets. So you had this intimate experience of these interactions with people that you really only could find visually by seeing their lips move and things like that. But it's funny because some of the things that stand out to me most also are traditional theater pieces. Mm-hmm. The range of types of performance spaces that Pica presents in, and the ways the artists use them is really far ranging.
Right, and we were talking about earlier elevator repair service, and in a more traditional setting, although the piece itself is not traditional, you know, it just is fantastic.
I think like any year, you know, this year's TBA Festival will be anchored in our new home. So what audiences might not know is that Pica is moving into a really fantastic warehouse space. And this will be the hub for the festival where audiences can, you know, find the box office. It's the late night gathering place where there's food and drink and different performance projects every single night. And it's really the home and hub for the festival. And then for the future, this will be the hub for Pica in future years.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's so wonderful, too, that the festival also includes workshops and talkbacks and, how many events are there total, including performance?
There's several, you know, but I think that's a really great point, that there's many ways to engage in TBA Festival. Mm-hmm. I know maybe it can seem a little daunting because there's so many offerings from performances, you know, gallery events, but it depends on what, you know, people are attracted to. Now, we really encourage people to find their way into the festival in terms of what they're drawn to. So, like you said, you know, every day of the festival, there are talks at 12:30, artist chats. On the weekends, there's more panel discussions and lectures, if that's appealing. There's also workshops. So, you know, for artists or people who, you know, who want to actually, you know, get into a studio and, you know, take a workshop, you know, many of the artists are offering those at very little cost at New Expressive Works. And that's a great way to also engage the festival in addition to attending the shows.
Right. I agree. They're really fantastic. And I remember I participated in one workshop and there were a whole range of people. They were artists, non-artists, just people who are interested in meeting artists and participating in some innovative work. And it was fantastic.
I think that's one of the themes of the festival is really inclusion. Mm-hmm. You know, that, you know, these artists that we're presenting are really, you know, at the top of their field. They're visionary artists who are incredibly rigorous. At the same time, you know, this festival is for, you know, all of us.
Well,
you know?
And it speaks to what we were talking about earlier, and that is that there is really not one way to become a performance artist. I mean, that many of these people have come into the work in many ways, musicians, theater makers, visual artists, innovators. And to my mind, I would think that lots of people would be fascinated by how they kind of dive into their work.
Absolutely. You know, TBA is really emblematic of the approach around we really value artists who, you know, are coming from, a variety of diverse backgrounds, you know, formally where they're from. That's what makes TBA TBA is this collision of perspectives.
That's fantastic. So when did you create your first piece of what you'd say contemporary art, you know, because I met you first as a musician and then you really started diving into some interesting worlds.
Yeah. I mean, you and I were in a play together. 2005, and that's how we met. And I kind of caught the theater bug then and studied with a man named Scott Kelman here.
I remember
Portland.
That.
And then very quickly after that, in 2006, created my first, theater piece, which Pica kind of became aware of and ended up starting a dialogue with me and commissioning my second work, which was presented in 2007 and 8 at the TBA. Seven at the TBA Festival as a work in progress, and in 2008 presented by Pica here at the Imago Theater right across the street. And that's sort of how my engagement with Pica began. But really, my engagement began just moving here in 2005, coming to the works, which is every night of the festival. So September 7th through 17th, it's the entry point that anyone who is wondering about this festival, whose interest is piqued by this notion of, you know, kind of avant-garde performance, visual art, you know, genre-defying, boundary-dissolving work, they should come to the works because every single night there's a beer garden, there are artists gathering, there's audience gathering, and it's very porous. The boundaries between people are gone. It's almost, it's so easy to meet people, and there's so many people from out of town. There's curators, there's scholars, and of course there's traveling artists, and I just stumbled into that in 2005 when I first moved here, and it just blew my mind because as somebody who moved here to Portland because I was feeling like I wasn't really connecting in an artistic scene in San Francisco in a way that I wanted to, I just stumbled into this highly connecting world that was bigger than Portland. I mean, it represents Portland, but it represents the world. And so there are local artists represented, but there are international artists represented, as well as arts administrators, curators, scholars. So it just kind of, it blew my mind because there really isn't anything like it anywhere, honestly. Mm. And it was such an exciting thing to realize. I just moved to the city that really does have this kind of hub of creative performance, visual art making and presenting that is, you know, richly accessible. I mean, it's funny. I say that because sometimes people say, oh, it's inaccessible. The work is so, I don't know what it is. But for me, it's so accessible. The work mm-hmm. may be challenging, but after the piece, you can walk up to the artist at the work in the beer garden at Northeast, you know, 15 Northeast Hancock and in Indiana at night, and you can talk to them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it has this connectivity to it, the festival. It's beyond just what's presented. It's about meeting fellow artists, meeting fellow audience members, meeting different people in the arts world, as well as seeing the work.
It's exciting. I think there's a certain aliveness about the work presented that's different than most anything you'll see. And there's a sense of a newness and innovation that just prickles your skin when you're watching and you're sitting next to people, many of whom are not the people you normally see art with, or depending on what genre you attend, you know. And it's so thrilling because it feels as though you're just in on a secret with all these strangers, really. And it's very thrilling. I just couldn't encourage people more to participate in the works. Is a great way to do it. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, some artists who have inspired you, do you have a couple in your mind?
Oh, there are, I mean, specifically presented at TBA. I mean,
oh, not necessarily.
Well, I'll stick to that. Just mm-hmm. I mean, there are so many, and actually many of them are in the festival this year, but mm-hmm. the people who actually come to mind first are, was it last year or 2 years ago that Philippe Ken, the artist Philippe Ken from France presented Melancholy of the Dragons. Was that 2 years ago?
That was about 2 years ago.
Yeah, that piece just blew my mind. It was it was presented in a traditional proscenium theater at Lincoln Hall, but it's kind of emblematic of Pica. It's a piece that experiments with theater form and narrative and spectacle and it was so emotional and beautiful, and yet not a lot happens. It was kind of surrealist almost. It was just a group of sort of stranded artists who kind of looked like, you know, like hair rockers from the 80s who were throwing like a traveling festival, and a woman sort of bikes up and starts interacting with them, and they're showing her their work there, which is like this weird traveling kind of spectacle festival. And it just, it's hard to explain, but it was beautiful. I mean, I can't really describe it. That's one work that stands out to me in my mind, but there are so many I can't even begin to describe. I mean, this, we should probably maybe look at this year's artists, but
that's great idea.
I mean, one person that kind of comes to mind who's deeply inspiring is Stu, who presented that piece, just because he's a music artist who has crossed over into theater. Mm-hmm. He refers to himself with his partner Heidi as the Negro Problem. It's sort of like a band name or a performance group name, but I mean, he's obviously putting his identity and the issues of identity up at the fore. I mean, he's called himself something quite challenging, and his work really explores, you know, what's going on today in our world, and his own identity's experience in the world as, you know, an African American man, and one who's so intelligent and is doing all sorts of incredible things. His own personal history is absolutely amazing. It was sort of exhibited in Passing Strange, which was the Broadway theater piece that he presented. It mm-hmm. became a Spike Lee directed film. He's just a fascinating person. So he's coming. And you know, that's deeply inspiring. There's a number of music-based acts mm-hmm. in this year's festival whose work deeply inspires me, because, you know, it is an interesting thing for me to see music acts presenting their work in ways that go beyond the concert venue, that mm-hmm. are incorporating aspects of movement and theater and video design and visual art. And actually, this year's festival is chock full of that kind of work.
Just to remind everybody, I'm talking to Holcomb Waller here and Angela Maddox from PICA, the Portland Institute for Contemporary Art. And we're talking about the TBA Festival, which is going to be in Portland September 7th through the 17th. And actually, as I say, which will be in Portland, it will not be in, it's only in Portland. It's one of a kind. You will not see anything like it in the United States. So if you can get there anyway, get there. And you can, there's a beautiful booklet that you can take a look at in all the events, in addition to the website, where you can find out how to get there and ticketing and so forth. Even reading the book is inspiring and so fascinating to see what artists are really thinking about right now. And Angela, we were talking about three outstanding artists. I know every single person who's in the festival are incredible. Dorothée Munyaneza is going to be here.
Sure.
And I just got tickets for that.
Oh, fantastic.
And so tell everybody a little bit about that. It's extremely challenging. I really, as I read about it, I thought, can I do this?
Oh.
And I thought, I want to do this.
Absolutely. Well, Dorothée Munyaneza is a theater artist, really integrates body and voice. This is a brand new piece that she just created. It just premiered at the Avignon Festival a matter of weeks ago. So Portland audiences will be being exposed to a brand new work. This is a U.S. premiere. Dorothée is originally from Rwanda, now based in Marseille, France. The piece is called Unwanted. And it continues her thematic exploration of where she grew up, and it goes back to the Rwandan genocide. So as you were saying, challenging topics, yes. Many of the projects we present in the TBA Festival are acknowledging the challenging times we live in and some really challenging subject matter. But I trust it in an artist as visionary and poetic as Dorothée. One of the other really exciting things about this project is that it incorporates the voice of a local artist, Holland Andrews of Portland. So for me, it's a really particularly poignant project that integrates Holland Andrews' voice, Dorothée's, as they're exploring the rape victims after the genocide in Rwanda. And Dorothée did personal interviews with the women. And this piece is really about resilience. And it's an incredibly inspiring approach. I think it will be challenging, but at the same time, I think that knowing Dorothée and her approach in this work is to really bring, you know, a sense of honor to these women and acknowledge their integrity about survival. And so this theme of resilience really runs through a lot of the TBA Festival.
It's really interesting because as I hear you speak about this, I think about your curating this. And as the person who is really leading our community through very challenging topics, I'm trusting in you personally to entrust my participation with an artist that you trust and feels will provide an experience that is healthy, that's and there's a thrill in my mind to be in the presence of an artist who is going to help me digest some of these things in the world.
Absolutely. And I think the term trust is a great one, you know, of in terms of identifying these artists, you know, we research, you know, far and wide, and are building relationships with these artists that we do really trust. At the same time, it's a place where a lot of new work is happening. So audiences are experiencing this in real time with us. Mm-hmm. And the artists are putting forward very vulnerable expressions as they're just creating these pieces. And as Holcomb referenced, we do create a lot of other opportunities to talk to the artists, to talk with scholars, to talk to fellow audience members, to help make sense of the work, if need be, because these are complicated projects. And certainly Dorothée's is challenging subject matter. And, you know, it's, again, in terms of the festival being a real home for global voices, she's really one of the highlights here, and an opportunity to engage this work for the first time.
And also Tanya Tagak.
Tanya
is coming
back, yes. You know, and as I was putting forward, you know, my sixth and final edition of the TBA Festival, I was really excited to bring back a few artists who I think really made a really important impact in their previous performances. And certainly Tanya Tagak, who is an Inuit punk throat singer, made a profound you know, impact the last time we presented her a few years ago. And I had many audience members, you know, asking me to bring her back. And so it was real, that's one of my highlights. So we are presenting two nights, Tanya Tagak, in a concert form called Retribution. And she's really speaking to, you know, the destruction of Mother Earth right now. She has created this piece, Retribution, to empower the female voice, to celebrate women, and to talk around, to talk about issues of the environmental crisis right now. And in, you know, her vocal ability is extraordinary. So when I say punk throat singing, it's the words don't suffice. Mm-hmm. She is a force. She must be experienced. And again, anyone who saw her last time, I know we're buying tickets to the show this time. She's indescribable in terms of her visceral, primal expression.
That's incredible. Mm. And then Bushra Uzgan.
Yes. Bushra, you know, it, similarly to Tanya, another female artist who made a profound impact, and somebody we presented a few years ago that I was really excited to have returned to Portland. This is a very unique project that involves local community. Bushra is a Moroccan choreographer, mm-hmm. and she is creating a piece called Les Corbeaux, which translates to ravens or crows. Mm-hmm. It involves nine Moroccan women, many of them of an older generation, who are actually singers in Morocco. And it also incorporates 30 local Portland females. Mm. And this is an intervention. So as you recalled, some of your most favorite experiences being in the world in Portland, mm-hmm. we're presenting this piece in Peninsula Park, mm-hmm. as well as Pica's home at Hancock. This will be more of an intervention, installation of body and sound of over 30 women doing this ritualistic performance of sound and repetition and body that is also really, for me, an incredible statement around feminine power.
Mm. Sounds like one of the dominant themes.
Absolutely.
Women are really strong voices in this season.
Indeed, as always.
In your curatorial approach, we were speaking earlier about your travels and how you meet artists. When I'm assuming you do that year-round.
Absolutely. You know, the research never stops. Mm-hmm. You know, for me and the entire curatorial team at Pica, you know, everyone has long, long lists of artists that we're tracking. This is a nonstop research process. Mm-hmm. So traveling the world, investigating locally. Again, this is a local festival. It's a global festival. Mm-hmm. So seeing shows live, meeting artists, going to festivals, going to conferences, talking to scholars, talking to people, trying to identify who are the leading artists of our moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fascinating. Are there people, I'm sure there are people that you're on the lookout for now, watching them grow? And of course, prior to here, you were in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Have there been artists that you've had the opportunity, I'm sure there are, from, you know, really the beginning of their craft up into now?
Mm, absolutely. I think that's so well stated. These are really about long-term investment in tracking an artist's, you know, career and trajectory and seeing how we can, you know, best incubate their work and ideas and mm-hmm. develop those long-term relationships. In fact, there's an artist named Dohi Lee, who is based in the Bay Area, who I had the great pleasure of getting to know and commission when I was working there. And we're presenting her work for the first time as part of this year's TBA Festival.
Oh, that's great.
And she's an amazing artist. She's based in the Bay and drawing on her traditional practice from Korea. So she's a master Korean drummer and singer who creates these incredible contemporary rituals. And that's also another highlight for me in this year's TBA Festival. And also personally poignant for me to bring an artist up here from the Bay who I've seen, as you said, you know, really grow and mature as an artist. And I'm so happy to welcome her to this community at the TBA Festival.
So the opening always is really exciting with TBA. So tell us a little bit about how that's all going to go this year.
Well, as always, TBA opening night is really our big kickoff, mm-hmm. and it's free. Mm-hmm. So on September 7th, come to hit the 15 Northeast Hancock address. We always start with a big opening dinner. Mm-hmm. So that is a ticketed event. Mm-hmm. And it's, if somebody wants to kind of get up and close with personal with artists, we often invite artists to that and various people. So that's how it kicks off. And then we walk into the building opening. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a great celebration.
Oh, that's fantastic. I want to remind everybody that I'm here with Angela Maddox from PICA, Portland Institute for Contemporary Art, and Holcomb Waller. And we're talking about the Time-Based Art Festival, which is going to take place September 7th through the 17th. Can you talk a little bit about the piece, either The Death Dance or Direct Path to Detour? Oh, actually, also, I Collect Neglected Venoms was so fascinating with the jellyfish. That was incredible.
Yeah, I'll jump in around Direct Path to Detour, mm-hmm. which is a new piece by one of our local artists who's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Another artist we've been tracking for a long time. His name is Taka Yamamoto. Mm-hmm. And Taka has created a really incredible, multifaceted project. This is actually part 3 of a trilogy. And we presented the first part in the spring. It also will result in a publication. And then part three is a performance at TBA Festival, Direct Path to Detour. Mm. And this is a dance piece. It's a solo work with Taka performing. And, you know, the dance scene in Portland, I've really been just, it's been a joy to see it evolve in the last few years. I think it's really, you know, in my 6 years here, it's been, it's, I think, growing. And there's a, you know, a core group of artists, of which Taka is one, who I think are just incredibly rigorous around their investigation around, of ideas. Mm-hmm. So this is a piece that will actually happen both weekends in the festival. Mm-hmm. And it's a solo work that really is, it's looking at the relationship of the performer to the audience member. It's around spectatorship. It's about that relationship. And Taka is really playing with this very intimate relationship with the audience. The audience is sitting in the round. It's a very intimate, small-scale performance. And really, again, emblematic of the really extraordinary burgeoning talent in this region right here.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So when you're curating, how do you keep in mind a balance of the various genres? I mean, needless to say, there's lots of porosity between the genres. How do you, is it a feeling you get? How does it feel?
Sure. Oh, that's a great question. You know, a TBA festival would not be a TBA festival unless it was really a diverse collision of aesthetics and forms. That's really kind of what, you know, one of the essential ingredients to making it the festival. Because so often we see, you know, dance isolated in its own sphere or visual art in its own sphere. And the TBA festival is really a place where you can, you know, move in between these different disciplines. And I think that is really one of the real special aspects of the festival. And in terms of the balance, as you're asking, It, you know, for me, as I'm looking at it, it needs to be a breadth of, you know, I want there to be different, you know, modes of dance and theater and music and visual art. But, you know, there certainly isn't a checkbox around it. It's really about what are the synergies between these projects? And quite frankly, also, what are the unexpected synergies by having all these different diverse points of view in the same festival? And I think that's one of the joyful aspects of the festival is that after the 10 days, of going to experience all these different kinds of projects and art and perspectives, that there's these unexpected, you know, thematic underpinnings that kind of arise, you know, after experiencing it. And of course, there's thematics that we are exploring around identity issues and notions of resilience. And those are intentional connective tissue, right? But then there's all kinds of things that emerge that we wouldn't know, especially as a lot of these projects are new.
Right.
So when we talk about it being art in real time, these are experiences in real time, art in creation in real time. And the audience has a big role in that.
Yes.
So we ask a lot of the audience to connect some of the dots that they're seeing.
Well, come to TBA and connect some dots, because you are going to have a lot of fun no matter what you do, no matter how you get in there. You can go to www.pika.org and find out much more about the festival. And I want to thank you, Angela and Holcomb, for joining me today in the studio to talk about TBA.
Thanks for having us.
A pleasure.
Yeah. It's a real pleasure. And again, TBA Festival, September 7th through the 17th, where the TBA Festival will be taking place. Find out more at www.pika.org. And I want to thank Judy Feistel for engineering us today. And Dime Roberts, thanks for giving me the opportunity to take your place, which is pretty much impossible. And go see Dime at Artist Repertory Theater in the play Caught. If you missed any of this interview, you can listen online later today at kboo.fm/stageandstudio, and also on our Stage and Studio Facebook page. You can also get previews of next week's show there. And we're going to go out now with another longer cut from Stu and Heidi from Notes from a Native Song, and certainly don't miss him at TBA.
To a lily-white god with Mississippi plates, a shotgun rack hunting blind drunk, a rope in the back and a hood in the trunk. Are you following him? Yeah. Okay. We don't need you to do that. Are you following him? Yeah. Okay. We don't need you to do that.
Beginning Friday, September 1st at 10 a.m., KBOO's resident sound artist brings you Threshold Shift. Earth shouts its secrets when we listen. Threshold Shift aims to quiet humans down for a few moments, give the mic to nature, and then hear what happens when we only amplify Earth. Again, that's Threshold Shift, a resident sound artist series, Friday mornings at 10, starting September 1st on KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM and streaming at kboo.fm.
Good morning. Next up is Art Focus. Art Focus has been made possible by KBOO members and support from the Oregon Symphony, presenting a special concert, Angélique Kidjo, with the Oregon Symphony. More info and tickets for this event with Angélique Kidjo at the Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall on Tuesday, September 26th, available now at orsymphony.org.
Andy Warhol, let's just scream, hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all.
My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week are Roya Amir Soleimani and Erin Boberg. They're from PICA, the Portland Institute for Contemporary Art, and they're here to talk about TBA 17. Thanks for coming into KBOO.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
TBA happens every September. It's a 10-day festival of time-based art. Could you just tell us a little bit what time-based art is?
Sure. You know, when we came up with the name for the festival, we really liked